Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, this is week two on our series. It's going to last about a month, called It All Starts at Home. And as school is starting back, if you have kids in the house, you know, I'm sure your teachers, or your kids' teachers, I should say, have probably said something like, we need a partnership with you parents, and because teachers kind of get it, students who perform the best in school usually have, not always, but a lot of times have extra help at home. They'll tell you like things like this, good grades start at home. But I would also like to tell you this morning that a lot of how we live our lives Monday through Friday, a lot of the life we live spiritually, vocationally, our relationships, a lot of that all started at home once upon a time, but it's continuing to start at home today. And I made this statement last week, I'll say it again, that our homes, your home, whether you're a single person or whether you're married, a couple, or whether you're married with children or whether you're a grandparent, I believe this is true for all stages of life. Even right now, a lot of the conditions of your life are starting at your home. It starts with the disciplines at your home. It starts with your relationship with God that is birthed in your home. I would just like to say this, spirituality is not a Sunday morning thing. Does that make sense? It doesn't. Your spirituality, your walk with Christ doesn't begin on Sundays at 10 o'clock when you walk in the door, or on Wednesdays when you come to the door. Your spirituality isn't measured by when you walk into a life group or you walk into a serve group. No, friends, a true measure of your spirituality, it actually could be measured at your home. How much of God are you serving God in the doors of your house? How much are you serving God when you serve your spouse? How much are you serving God when you're raising your kids? How much are you serving God when you interact with one another? Or if you're a single person, how much of your spirituality is being measured by your personal discipleship at your home? See, all of that stuff, true spirituality and following Jesus, it might begin at church, maybe it begins in a service, but it's going to continue and flow out of your home. And I've said this before, I said it last week, I'll say it again, that my house is either a stumbling block or a platform for my kids to discover Jesus. Now, my home's not going to be a good excuse if my home is a wreck. It's not going to be a good excuse for them not following Jesus. But I do understand, I'm either serving up a launching pad for their spirituality, or I'm setting up a hurdle they have to get over to follow Jesus. Help me understand that picture this morning. Right? I'm not solely responsible for the path they take, but I can do my best to make sure that when it comes to our home, that it's a place for them it's a push towards Jesus and not a pull away from Jesus. A lot of that has to do with the integrity that I walk in, the true faith I demonstrate behind the closed doors of my home. And as we talk about everything started at home today, I want to talk about today the subject of defeating division in our home. Have we ever lived in a culture that is more divisive than it is right now? Some of you have sensed it so much you're even scared to admit that this the world we live in is so divisive. I mean, it's around politics, it's extremely divisive. It's around health choices are extremely divisive. It's around how do you respond to pandemics is divisive. What do I do with my kids regarding school is divisive. It's like people are not satisfied to have convictions, that they want to have their convictions screamed. And if you are different than they are, then you are the enemy of them. And that is not at all. Here's what I would say. Most divisiveness does not happen because of a conflict that comes. It does not happen because of a circumstance that comes. Divisiveness occurs because that's the only way people know how to deal with differences. But friend of mine, Church of Jesus Christ, God has not called us to be divisive just because we have differences. Being in unity does not mean uniformity. God knew when He created you different than me that we would have different outlooks, different convictions around not the core things of God, obviously, but around the peripheral things. He knew we would have differences. He created us to have differences so that we could sharpen one another, we could help one another. It's the friction in our lives. You know, the Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Have you ever understood for the moment that our differences actually ought to make us better instead of our differences being a source of destruction? I'm getting kind of preachy awful quick. I understand that's this point. I'll try to calm down. But I'm just saying that one of the ways that our home can be a platform instead of a hurdle for what God wants to do is for us to make sure our home is not a place where division reigns. Not a place where division rules, because there is a difference. I might say this 100 times this morning. There's a difference between differences and division. You can have differences and not be divisive. One is about a reality. The other one deals with the spirituality of that issue. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 11, verse number 17. If you wonder if this is a big deal, some of you think this isn't a big deal, but in case you think that, Jesus said it like this. He said, any kingdom divided by a civil war is doomed. And a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Paul goes on to talk to the church in Corinth in chapter 1 of verse number 10. He says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and process. Now, some of you are thinking, well, hold on, Pastor. This sermon, it's supposed to be about our family. It's supposed to be about our home. And this is talking about the church. Well, let me ask you something. Where are people going to learn how to walk in harmony as a church if they're not learning it in your home? For some members of Cho's house have told me about your quarrels. And my dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. Others are saying, I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into fractions? Or factions? Excuse me. He's, by the way, the answer is no to both. Neither factions nor fractions. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. Let's pray. Father, we want to build homes that point people to you. We want our homes to definitely point the insiders, those that live in our home, to you. But we also want our homes to point outsiders, those who may be our neighbors, the onlookers to our lives. We want them to also be pointed to you when they see the harmony that is active in our life. God, we also pray that over our church, we understand what happens in the church often starts at home. So teach us from the inside out, from the living rooms of our home to the foyers of our church, to be people who are in harmony with you and harmony with one another. Help me today to not preach a man's opinion or man's wisdom, but help me today to speak Holy Spirit wisdom, Holy Spirit power. Help us today to hear what you want to say to us, Spirit. And we'll respond accordingly because, Lord, we don't want to ignore what the Spirit's saying to us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Everybody said amen? Amen. I want to point out to you when Paul tackles this issue of division, he does not say this is some small deal. He doesn't say that this is just a minor thing. If you get time, watch out for it. If you get a chance, work on it. Actually, Paul leverages everything he has, everything he is as an apostle, as a follower of Jesus. When he talks about dealing with the division, he leverages who he is. He says, on the authority of Jesus, don't let there be divisions. He's being pretty serious about that. He said, on the authority of Jesus. He said, if there's any divine guidance to my life at all, it applies to this matter. So it's a serious matter. And sometimes I think that we forget that people are different. Have you ever looked at a family and thought, how could those two kids be raised in the same home? You ever thought about that? I hope you didn't think about that regarding your kids, but I know I've thought about it. I'm like, you know, they're like salt and pepper. They're like, you know, night and day in both good ways and bad ways. And you think, man, same home, same parents, same environment, and they turned out completely different. One of them is quiet, the other one's loud. One of them is always hesitant. The other one thinks about what they did the next day. They've never hesitated before in their life. Maybe I'm just describing my kids. I don't know. But you know, sometimes we wonder, how does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. We're different. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're kind of different. Right? You're kind of different. And that's not a problem. As a matter of fact, you might not like this prayer, but I've just been praying for about 4 years now. God, just give us all different kinds of people as members of the assembly. Don't let us look alike. Don't let us always have the same background. Just bring us together for the cause of Christ. And so the simple answer to this is that we are different. And where you put different people together, there's gonna be problems. And some of you, you just told your spouse, I can't believe you said this, you just told your spouse that they're kind of different, but don't worry, don't be mad at them. You were crazy enough to marry them. And so the fact that there's differences, we celebrate that. We celebrate that the differences in our life have drawn us together. I mean, if we're making a major decision as a household, I will bend and twist and analyze that decision for days and days and days. And Megan will just say, phew, I should make a decision in a moment. But now we're talking about a small decision. She will twist and bend that thing for days and days, and I'll just like, we're different. And you know what? God knew I needed someone to help me through the big decisions. And God knew she needed someone to help her through the small decisions so that we're not spending our whole life in park, right? We're not spending our whole life in the driveway and never following the Lord. Listen, our differences don't have to be divisive. That's what Paul is saying. That's what I'm saying today. And the way you can start division in our culture, the way you can stop division in our country isn't by doing all these outward things. A lot of it can be started when we learn to start with a division in our home. So how are we going to do that? How are we ever going to make the choice to be, celebrate differences or even deal with differences without becoming divisive? I'll tell you three or four ways this morning. Number one, we have to understand the price. A better word would have been, we have to understand the cost of division. Jesus said, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. What is Jesus talking about? He is telling us, he is outlining for us the cost, the price of division. If you put up with division, if you grow comfortable with division, if you're okay going to bed at night with anger in your heart towards your spouse, you're okay going to bed at night with anger in your heart, bitterness in your heart towards someone that maybe it's your child, maybe it's someone you work with. If you're comfortable going to bed at night with bitterness living in your heart, you need to understand something, that is going to cost you. What the word says. We cannot be, here's what Jesus is saying, we cannot be satisfied with a divided family or a fractured relationship. Paul asked the church at Corinth, has Christ been divided into factions? You might ask yourself this, is a fractured family, is a divided family an appropriate picture of a risen Jesus? If the answer is no, that's my answer, then I've got to do what is necessary to make sure none of my relationships are fractured, none of them are divided, that even if there's people that we can't walk in agreement with, we're not walking in hostility towards one another. It means I got to live a life understanding my life isn't about just me. Have you discovered your life isn't just about you? Amen. Several years ago, when we were on staff at a church, Megan and I had a friend of ours that lived with us for about, I guess she lived with us about 3 or 4 years, and she was here today. I'd say everything I'm about to say in front of her. And she moved in with us because she was getting married in about 6 or 7 weeks. Is that right? 6 or 8 weeks? I don't know. She's getting married pretty quick. And anyway, things happened. She didn't get married. And so she just stayed with us. And she ended up living with us for about 3 or 4 years. And it ended up being a blessing. She was a great blessing to us. But there were times when I know this is shocking. There are times when Megan and I, we were at odds. And how many understand it's hard to be at odds and have a meaningful discussion when you're on staff at a church as a church member in the next bedroom over? Small house, 2 bedrooms. So in those 4 years, I learned something. I learned that we could have differences and we could have full-blown arguments at a whisper level. I am telling you, I put that seat back down. I don't know if a ghost came in our house, but it was not me. Why? Because I understood it didn't look good for one of our choir members and a church member to go to church the next day at Sunday and say, you know, I don't know what's going on with Pastor and Megan, but they, you know, they were throwing dishes across the hall last night. But, you know, it's not that we didn't want to at some point. We understood that even though there's a difference, we cannot let our difference affect our witness. Now, some of you think, well, oh, y'all were just faking it because someone was watching. No, we were just aware someone was watching. Are you aware people are watching you? It all starts at home. Our kids are watching us. They're watching how we interact with each other. How many have kids in your house under the age of 18? Maybe half of us, all right? You already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You understand you're teaching your kids how to treat their spouse? Your kid might be 6 years old. They're learning how to treat their spouse right now. By how you treat your spouse. You know, you're teaching your kids how to deal with authority in the community. With how you deal with authority in the community. Right? You're teaching your kids how to respond at a sports event. By how you respond at the Little League game. You understand 99% of kids don't make it to the NFL or the NBA or the whatever letters you like to celebrate. So maybe as we're starting fall sports, all the parents just need to take a step back and understand. Pastor, you just don't understand. Little Johnny, he's going to be the next Olympic gold medal. What? I hope so. But how about we teach him a little bit of grace for when he wins the medal, all right? I'm just saying that there's a price of division. And not only do we pay the price, those who watch our lives are paying the price. Because how are they learning, how are they paying the price? They're learning how to respond. I'm not talking about compromising convictions. I understand there's times when you have to make stands of righteousness, but I'm talking about distinguishing the difference between the negotiables and the non-negotiables. Understand that there's a difference between someone who thinks differently and someone who's out to destroy me. There's a danger in allowing bitterness and anger to rule your life or taking up residence in your life. The word says to not give the devil a foothold. Well, how do you give the devil a foothold in your life? You give the devil a foothold in your life when you let bitterness and anger reside in your home. Division cost you something. Number two, how do I deal with division in my home? Maybe there is division in your home. Maybe it's between husband and wives. Maybe it's between you and your kids. Maybe it's between you and your neighbor, whatever. I'll tell you how the second way we defeat it is you feel your love for one another. Verse 10 says, upon the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, live in harmony with each other if you feel like it. Is that what the word says? No, live in harmony with each other. In my Bible, there's a period there. Sometimes I hate it when God puts a period at the end of a sentence because it leaves me no room to add to it. Right? Live in harmony with each other, period. And before Paul addresses the division, I would like to ask you to look at that scripture and how he appeals to them. He says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters. He's saying, don't let any division in your family separate the fact that you are both, or you all three, or you all 16, no matter how family you're, I don't know how big your family is, but no matter how many there is, never understand that you are both children of God. I appeal to you as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't let your differences rob you of your value. Sometimes when you have a difference with someone, you just need to remember that person matters to God too. Yes. My husband still matters to God too. My wife still matters to God too. That person in the community that I'm at odds with, they matter to God too. That teacher who's been giving my child a hard time, they matter to God too. My in-law or my outlaw or whatever, they matter to God too. We got to fuel our love for one another. Sometimes, I don't know if you watched or played very much basketball. I'll go on record to tell you, I stink at basketball. I'm like the greatest disappointment of so many junior high basketball coaches because I've been this tall my whole life. And so they see tall people, they expect something. And I've always disappointed them. But I've watched basketball. More than once, I've seen in an intense game that two or three people will be going after the ball under the net, and they'll be about to kill each other trying to get the ball, and someone will finally yell from the bleachers these two words. They'll yell what? Same team! Because two people from the same team are about to kill each other trying to get the ball. And sometimes I wonder, as the body of Christ, do we just need to look at each other and yell at each other, same team! How much of the church is divided today over things that don't matter? Yes. From now on, I'm just going to start yelling at some of you. Same team. And you'll know what I'm talking about when I do it, all right? Is that fair? So if we're living in 2023, and I yell same team at you, just revert back to this sermon. We have to fuel our love for one another, which brings me to this point. How many understand love has to be fueled? Sometimes I hear people say things like, I just fell in love with this person. Or they'll say things like, I just don't love that person anymore. Like love is a mud puddle you fall into or you fall out of. No, love is a choice. Love is an action. So one of the words says, beloved, let us love one another. The word doesn't say let us have love for one another like it's a donut somebody gave us in our backpack. It's not like something someone gave you love. No, it says, beloved, let us love one another. It's an action. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings come and go. I'm not against feelings, but I can't base my life on them, right? Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, give them the other one also. If someone takes your cloak, don't withhold them your tunic as well. Why is Jesus giving us these outlandish commands to people who are doing ill towards us? It's because he knew in moments where people are persecuting you and people are cursing you and people are disagreeing with you, your knee-jerk reaction would not be to love them anyway. So he says, just do these actions. And if you will do these actions, what's going to happen is your love for them that is being lost in the chaos, your love for them that is being lost in the difficult circumstances, your love for them that is being lost because of the differences, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, even when you don't feel like it, if you'll just do these actions, if you do the actions long enough, the feelings of love will return. Some of us are waiting for the feelings to return before you do your actions. But if you'll turn to Revelation, I believe it's chapter 3, when Jesus talks about people who have lost their first love, he didn't say, wait for the feelings to come back. He said, no, go back and do again what you did at first. For his friends, it's not how we feel that brings the prosperity of God to our families. It's what we do. It all starts at home. Loving one another has to start at home. And it's not optional, by the way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, as Jesus said was the greatest commandment. And the second one is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus put a pretty wide scope on who our neighbor is, didn't he? He said even people that don't look like us are our neighbor. People who are believed different from us are our neighbor. This word, when Paul said live in harmony, don't let there be any division. The original Greek word is schemata, which we derive our English word schism from. It simply means this, to tear or rend. In other words, Paul is saying don't rip each other apart. How many ever been ripped apart? Well, you're still like in one piece in the room. So how did you get ripped apart? Huh? Words? Someone ripped you apart with the words they said? How's the Church of Jesus Christ ripping itself apart today? Same way. The words we speak. I wonder in 2021 if there's ever people who rip other believers over things. Do they rip other family members apart with the words they say and the deeds they do? I would just say this, stop division by loving one another instead of tearing one another apart. Three, be of one mind. Paul just says straight up, verse number 10, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Matthew 6:33 kind of tells us what that one mind should be, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When your relationships begin to crumble with God, and when your relationships with people begin to crumble, it's time to come back into one common mission, one common theme, and it's that common theme, that common mission is the cause of Christ. It's the mission of Christ. You can find in scriptures where Paul tells people, don't let differences become divisive. Don't let, in this scripture he says, some of you are saying you're a follower of Peter. You're a follower of Apollos. Well, that just sounds, doesn't it sound silly in today's vernacular? If someone were to stop you at the street and say, what's your religious affiliation? Well, I'm a follower of Apollos. I'm a follower of Peter. You would say things like this. Why would you ever be a follower of Apollos when you could be a follower of Jesus? We would understand that these are lesser things that people are clinging to. God, help us stop clinging to lesser things than Jesus. Let us stop finding our identity in different systems than God's system. Good preaching. See, I can, since it's getting good, I'm going to get better. I can always tell when I get close to an idol. An idol is any system that you're so in love with, you elevate it above your allegiance to Jesus. We have a lot of idolatry going on in our world today. And it's hiding itself under different systems. I could tell you what some of those are this morning. I could call them by name, but rather I would just ask you to do this. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit reveal them to you? Because it'll mean more if it comes from Him. Ephesians 4 says that we should bear with one another in love. You know, you're not the first person to disagree with a believer, a fellow believer. Paul and one of our heroes of faith, Barnabas, the Bible says that they had such a fierce disagreement with them that they no longer kept company with each other. That's pretty severe, isn't it? The difference was so bad that Paul said, well, listen, this isn't going to work, so you go that way and I'll go this way. And they were arguing over a guy named Mark, John Mark, whether he could be trusted or discipled. Barnabas said, man, God can use this kid. God can redeem this kid. I know he ran out on us. I know he left us hung in the bag before, but God can redeem him. God can use him. Paul said, that dude walked out on us one time. He ain't doing it again. No way, Barnabas. And they couldn't get an agreement. So Paul chooses a fellow disciple and goes one way. Barnabas and John Mark go another. Pretty severe part of the ways. But here's what I've noticed when I'm reading Corinthians, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, when I'm reading all these scriptures that Paul wrote, not one time do I hear Paul saying, now listen, watch out for Barnabas. Watch out for that guy. Man, he disagreed with me. Watch out for him. He no longer matters to God. God can't use anything. Nothing good will ever come out of Barnabas. Stay away from him. Paul never posted on Facebook, Barnabas stinks. And by the way, Paul has a habit, right? All the New Testament readers in the room, Paul had a habit of telling people, stay away from that guy, right? That dude did me harm, Paul says. Paul calls people out. But he never called out Barnabas. Not only did he not call him out, Paul never lost respect or value for Barnabas. Did you know that? Well, Pastor, you're just guessing. You're making stuff up now. No. Later on, Paul says, hey, I need some help. Give me John Mark. Who's that? He's the guy that went away several years ago that I thought was a lost cause. He went away with Barnabas. Bring him to me. I can get along with him. No. He is of great value to me. You know what happens when someone disciples you? I could embarrass someone real quick. I think I will. Addison, come up here. Most of you know that guy down the street at that little struggling church, North Little Rock, Rod Loy, right? Barely making it down there. I'm praying for him. That is, I've never said this, but you already know it. That is who discipled you, right? You get bored this afternoon, go Google one of Addison's on our webpage. Go watch Addison preach. And then go watch Rod Loy preach. They have the same mannerisms. They articulate the same way. Rochelle's over there saying yes, right? It's like every time he preaches, I like close my eyes. Am I listening to Addison? Am I listening to Rod Loy? I don't know. They come across the same way. Why am I embarrassing this man? Because here's what I want you to know. When someone pours into you, you begin to spill out what's been poured in. When Paul said, send John Mark to me, he's of great value, Paul knew, I'm asking for someone who's going to talk like, believe like, smell like, just like my old friend Barnabas, that I couldn't get along with, but I never lost value in. How do I know if I'm handling differences the way that God wants me to handle them? Can you still find value in those you disagree with? Paul did. You and I can too. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for letting me embarrass you. I'll buy you a Coke someday. So, We got to love one another. We got to be of one mind. What allowed Paul and Barnabas to overcome their differences? They had this thing. They had this commonality that was greater than their differences. And that thing was a person whose name is Jesus. Maybe if you want to come. Fourth, refuse to be the source of division. Now listen, I want to just ask you, I've been talking for like 30 minutes now, and so I know after 30 minutes you can kind of tune people out. So just zoom back in for a minute. Hear this verse. Point four, refuse to be the source of division. If people are causing divisions among you, give them a first and a second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. How serious does God take division among his people? How often do you hear our God, who is rich in mercy, say, have nothing else to do with them? Romans 16:17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you've learned. Keep away from them. James 4 says, what causes fights, quarrels, divisions among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within us? Listen, differences are gonna come. They're going to come, period. You and your kids, you and your spouse, between your kids, between those that you work with, between those that you do life with, those that are in charge of whatever it is that you're having to live under, differences are going to come. No way out of it. They're going to come. But just because there's differences doesn't mean you have to be divisive. Well, where in the world am I going to learn? Where are my kids going to learn? Where are my friends going to learn how to handle differences? It all starts at home. It starts at your home. When you handle your differences in a God-honoring way. And by the way, Matthew chapter 18 kind of tells you the God-honoring way to do it. You go to the person directly. That doesn't work, you take a trusted believer with you. If that doesn't work, you bring a crowd of trusted believers. You bring them to the church. It's not a public stoning or a public humiliation. And it's all done with one intention. It's called reconciliation. But we got to refuse to be the source of division, not in our family only, but in our church family, in any source, any place that God gives us. Some of you that you need to understand, God has placed you in a circle of friends at school to be his light. Some of you, God's placed you in circles of coworkers at the workplace so you can be the source of light. Let God use you in that place. Refuse to be a source of division. Just like I opened this series, our homes are either platforms or hurdles for people to come to Jesus. My life lived outside the doors of this church. Your life lived outside the doors of this church is a platform or it's a hurdle for people to come to Jesus. As a church, let's make sure our life is a platform. Our life is shouting, come to Jesus. Our lives, the gospel says that our lives should actually make the teaching of Jesus attractive. So Father, I pray this morning that we would be people who make the gospel attractive. That we make it attractive to those who live in our home first. We make it attractive to our spouse. Some of these folks in the room today, they're in relationship with a non-believing spouse. But Lord, you're going to make the gospel attractive to them by how they love their spouse. Some of these in the room, they have kids that are adults and they're not living for the Lord. But God, you're going to make the gospel attractive to them once again because how they're living their life. They're a platform instead of a hurdle Some of this room are just feeling conviction this morning because their kids are grown and they look back and they say, you know, I did spend a lot of my life being a hurdle instead of a platform. God, I just pray that their latter years will be greater than their former years, that they're gonna be a greater platform in their future than they ever were a hindrance in the past. They're gonna be screaming Jesus to the kids. They're gonna be screaming Jesus to the co-workers. I pray that us as a church, Father, we would never let a difference become divisive. But we would be of one mind, and that's the mind of Jesus. So today, Lord, I pray that we'll walk that out. We'll walk that out all across this place. I want to ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed real quick. This has just been a message about how we are to be the body of Christ. But maybe today you've never joined the body of Christ. What I mean by that, you've never chosen to follow Jesus with your life. And despite the subject of this message, the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to you, saying, this is a day you need to give your life to Christ. This is a day you need to become a Jesus follower. And despite what I was saying, the Spirit of God has been saying something to you, that this is your day to start following Jesus. And today you say, you know, I haven't been doing that. I haven't been living my life for Jesus. I've been living it for myself. I've been living it for the here and now. I haven't been living it for who God wants me to be. If that's you today, would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me because today I'm deciding to follow Jesus. Real quick, front to the back, left to right. So, Father, I pray for every person that's choosing to follow you in this moment, God, that they would let this be the beginning point, the beginning place of following you. The Word says that we'll confess you with our mouth. We believe in our hearts that you came, you lived, you rose again for us, that you're alive today, that we can have right relationship with you. God, I pray for people that are making that decision today in the room or watching online, that this would be a day of new beginnings for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room. I've preached. We've prayed. Your kids are supposed to be dismissed in 1 minute, but I want us to spend one more minute together. I've been talking about the last hour, about our 30 minutes, about divisiveness, so let's not be divisive on this issue. But we have our nation is in a conflict, and our military needs our prayers. Amen? It's heartbreaking to watch the news here lately. But there's a whole lot of things I can't do, but one thing I can do that I believe we should do as a Church of Jesus, we should pray for those who are in harm's way this morning. We've got one of our very own was deployed this week here from our church. Many other valuable sons and daughters. Can we just pray for those of our military today that God would bring safety upon them, that God would bring an end to this chaos that's in our world today? So let's just join today praying the Lord would do that miracle is what we need. God, I just pray a miracle would happen in the lives of our servicemen and women. God, I pray for an end, a holy end to this chaos today. I pray that you would just work miracles for our service men and women today, that you would be with them. Let your presence surround them on all sides. I pray you would guard them and guide them. I pray that the favor of the Lord would be upon them. I pray for, Lord, the will of God to be done. I pray if extraction is our plan, that God, they would be extracted safely. God, I pray for divine intervention and even revelation for those who are in charge today, that every move would be strategically guided by you. Lord, that we know the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. God, I just pray for ordered steps. I also pray for the Church of Jesus that's in Afghanistan today. God, we understand that they are enduring greater persecution than ever. God, I pray that they would endure it with grace. Give them grace and strength. God, give them creative ideas. Be with them as well. But God, I would just pray that the grace of God would be upon those servicemen and women, especially this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's 11:16. If no one's told you yet they love you, let me be the first to tell you I love you. God bless.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.